A cherished piece of our local history is at risk of crumbling. Rockhaven Sanitarium stands mostly unnoticed in a quiet part of the San Gabriel Valley. The facility was founded in the 1920s by psychiatric nurse Agnes Richards to be a mental health facility run by women for women. Its goal was to be a humane and compassionate alternative to some of the harsh psychiatric treatments of the time that stripped patients of their dignity. It came to be known for its lushly landscaped grounds and its celebrity patients. Now, as Rockhaven marks its 100th anniversary, we take a look at its significance and the attempts to conserve it as a landmark and museum. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Today, we're talking about a local landmark, but its significance is more than just the century-old buildings and the grounds. Rockhaven Sanitarium is an emblem of change in the treatment of mental illness, a subject we are nowhere near done talking about even today. Joanna Linkhorst is the president of the Friends of Rockhaven, has spent years trying to bring attention to this, and good to see you again. You know, I first met you last summer when I came out to Rockhaven, and you toured me and our producer, Hunter Lowry, as well as Mimi Slough, who's the author of a book called Oldest L.A. We looked around the grounds. You took us into the buildings. Tell everybody what makes this place so special.
Oh, there's a great deal that makes it special. The grounds are oak-covered, and it used to have these stunning gardens that were award-winning. It has buildings built between 1920 and 1939 right now. And even today, inside these rock walls, it still has this feeling, this sense of healing. A certain power is still there.
Agnes Richards started this back in January of 1923.
100 years ago.
100 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember that. No, I don't. Although I often tell people I'm well over 100. But I think that the thing that's amazing about this, and this is what struck me when I was out there, was it was five women, four women. Talk about that.
Agnes, as soon as she was old enough, got a job working in a mental sanitarium, and she spent her life seeing all kinds of different sorts of treatments and all kinds of mental issues. So for her, at the age of 42, only 3 years after women got the right to vote federally, to step out and start her own business, not just as a woman, but as a woman that's going to operate a place for women, to give them safe and dignified treatment so they have an opportunity to go home and recover, not just get locked away or warehoused.
You know, it seems like for the day, that was very bold.
Absolutely. 1923, absolutely.
And she goes out there and she starts this thing. And as I walked around the property, I think what impressed me so much was the landscaping and these small buildings. And very nice, very quiet, kind of what you might think a sanitarium might be like. The thing is, this place drew the rich and the famous.
Well, yeah, ideally. It was called cottage care. So she literally purchased homes that were there, and then she had dorm-like buildings built as well. So it had a very home-like, relaxed feeling. But the ladies were to be drawn outside so that they could be in the wonderful Los Angeles air and an opportunity to recover and just have a lovely place to be cared for. And the likes of Billy Burke discovered this place.
And Billy Burke was?
Oh, she was Glinda the Good Witch, among other things.
In The
things.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Her secretary attracted Marilyn Monroe's mom. There were Follies girls and vaudeville entertainers. And then even the non-famous women were, the stories that I've heard, quite remarkable people.
And as I stood in there and in some of these buildings, and I tried to imagine what it might have been like back in 1923, 24, 25, whatever it was, you know, it seemed like a place where you could get caught up in your room. There were small rooms. So the idea was to keep people from getting hung up in that sort of rabbit hole of a room and get outside
exactly.
And sit in the gardens
exactly.
And talk amongst everybody else.
Yes. And there's a wonderful story of a lady who dropped her mother off. And with Alzheimer's patients, you aren't supposed to visit for a while because they're supposed to learn that this is their home. So she called to check on her mother, and she said, I want to see how Mrs. Smith is doing. And they said, she's doing lovely. And she said, no, Mrs. John Smith, when I dropped her off, she was biting and kicking and fighting. And they said, no, now that she is here and being dressed properly, her hair is done, her nails are done, she's being treated with dignity. It changed her demeanor. It changed the way that she felt about herself and therefore changed her behavior.
And what a lot of people might not understand is that back in the day, there were diagnoses of mental health for some of the strangest reasons.
You know, I don't even know if you could call it diagnoses. There was a lady treated at Rockhaven because she was going through menopause, and her husband said that she wasn't acting like herself. I heard a story of a gentleman whose uncle had his aunt put away for non-compliance, which means she disagreed with him over politics and religion. You'd think he'd have known, but she got to be put in a sanitarium for those reasons.
These mental health institutions were so important for so long. And even today, when you go through there, you still see some of the clothes hanging up in the closet mm-hmm. and interesting sort of things like that. But it went away. And it went away because?
Well, it was started in 1923. And the founder, Agnes Richards, passed away in 67. And her granddaughter operated until 2001. And she had actually been working there longer than her grandmother had. So she wanted to have an opportunity to retire.
And if it was still going today, it would be interesting to imagine what would the treatments be like there and what would the care be like there, because back then the care was very different.
Well, in the 1920s, the care was more about women with mild mental and nervous disorders to give them an opportunity to not be drugged and warehoused, to be able to go home. Some of the ladies actually did have more severe emotional issues. There was a lady who had a lobotomy. And she had a lovely personality, but she was never going to be able to take care of herself. So she was there for about 60 years. But in the 1960s, when different drugs were being invented and mental health care treatment changed, Patricia pivoted to make it more about elder care issues and Alzheimer's and dementia. And there were some ladies that did have more severe mental issues, but most of it was older ladies.
And we're talking about all of this because it comes at a time when they're trying to save this place, create a museum, and we're going to continue this conversation with Joanna, but look at that aerial right there. Look how big that sprawling landscape is. It's how many acres is that?
3.5 acres.
3.5 acres. It's very large. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what's happening out there at Rockhaven. We're also going to be talking with a state senator. Don't go away. But we'll be right back. That's an extraordinary case. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. About a year and a half ago, there was a big breakthrough in the attempt to preserve this historic property known as Rockhaven. State Senator Anthony Portantino, who represents La Cañada Flint Ridge, successfully pushed through a budget request to allot $8 million to the city of Glendale to renovate and preserve the sanitarium. And joining us is California Senator Anthony Portantino. And back with us is Joanna Linkhorst, the president of Friends of Rockhaven. Senator, welcome. We're going to start with you. And this project to preserve Rockhaven, it's moving forward thanks to the efforts you've made. Tell me, why did you become interested in this project? What is this project?
Well, first and foremost, you know, Joanna and Friends of Rockhaven have done a fantastic job just making this a priority for the Foothill communities and for history and women's history. Agnes Richards, the founder of Rockhaven, had a vision 100 years ahead of her time to have a sensitive health care for women, behavioral health care, before anybody talked about it in a sensitive way. And Joanna and her team said to the city of Glendale, this is a project that's worth preserving and the history is worth capturing. Don't tear it down. Don't make it a hotel. Don't develop it. Let's keep it in its pristine way and tell the story of Agnes Richard and all of the great folks. And I'm sure Joanna shared that. So I want to give her props for raising the level of the importance of the history. And she brought it to me. She took me on a tour and she walked me through the bungalows and, you know, just shared this wonderful vision of Agnes. And I said, you know what? When I have an opportunity, I'm going to see if I can help. And obviously, when you're thinking of restoring something with historic value, with sociological value, with women's history value, it's going to be expensive. And so we had a budget surplus in California, and I was able to secure $8 million to the city of Glendale so they don't have to have a threat of developing it from a commercial perspective, they can preserve it for its historic value. And so I give Friends of Rockhaven the props for raising the consciousness of this issue and then bringing it to my attention. And I was blessed to be in a position to help get the city the $8 million.
For some people, $8 million sounds like an awful lot of money. And for other people, $8 million is kind of like a drop in the bucket. What do you hope to do with this $8 million?
Well, certainly get the park open to the public so everybody can come in and experience and learn about it. And then ideally get the museum open so that we can have a wonderful space dedicated to women's history, mental health history, and Agnes Richards and the things that happened at Rocky.
What would be in that museum?
Well, we actually have some materials from an old doctor's office that's going to be in there. We've got clothes left over from the ladies and photographs, memories of Agnes and photos of her and her granddaughter Patricia. It's still wonderfully blossoming in my mind.
But you know, when we look at these images that we're looking right now at the screen, this place is in disrepair. Yes. And it's going to cost money just to get it fixed before you even start doing the museum stuff. And I have to ask you, Senator, when we talk about $8 million, sometimes, you know, it costs a lot of money just to do the repairs. So what's your sense of how this money gets doled out?
So remember, the structures are there. The pristine nature's there. The wrought iron love seats are there. You know, it's not that it has to be rebuilt. It has to be renovated. And I think that's the key. And $8 million is enough to renovate it, get it open as a museum. And as Joanna said, they have a lot of the rich history. We're talking about a place where, you know, Marilyn Monroe's mother went, Clark Gable's first wife went, the Good Witch was there. And countless other, you know, women received, you know, sensitive health care when others were being institutionalized for things. It's incumbent upon us to open this up to the public. And, you know, certainly the city of Glendale has the resources now. And if it requires additional resources, there's no reason why they can't put it up. But it was the first chunk of the money that the state invested. But the grounds are there. The beautiful oak trees are there. The reason why it was attractive to developers is it's such a beautiful property. And that's why, you know, having the ability to renovate those bungalows and open them up to the public is really what this is all about.
Will the $8 million cover the things you wanted put in this museum?
So far as I know, yeah. I have a vision for a not very high-tech museum, more of a house museum, and it shouldn't be too very hard. The thing that we need to start with, though, is roofs. We really need to get roofs on these to save these buildings. They are in really good shape. They're very, very sturdy, but without roofs on these nearly 100-year-old buildings, there's risk.
And with the rains that we've been having, and who knows when the next one's going to come,
yep.
Yeah, that could be an issue, certainly. And so let me just go back to the senator and sort of talk about, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, we've talked a little bit on this program about mental health and all the focus on mental health. And, yeah, this is a museum, and this is a way to remember somebody who tried to do something as a woman for other women 100 years ago. But where are we going as a state here with efforts to try to improve mental health?
Well, California has been a leader in mental health. And obviously, I don't know if you know, but I have a personal connection to it. My older brother tragically committed suicide. And so, you know, mental health struggles are personal for me. And I know for every family has somebody dealing with it. And, you know, one of my hopes is the more we bring it out of the shadows, the more help and sensitivity we give to folks. But California has been a leader in mandating mental health insurance coverage. Obviously, our children going back to school have their own challenges. We're doing a proposal this year to make sure that all school personnel are trained in mental health first aid, just like you train people in CPR. You know, we're doing everything we can from a state regulatory level and an insurance level to make sure that the folks get it. Now, there is a challenge with finding enough healthcare providers. Mm-hmm. And so there's an effort to make sure that we produce more psychologists, social workers, behavioral health experts. And so that's also part of the problem is making sure we have a workforce that can do it. But the needs are great. The efforts are there. And California is certainly leading in that effort.
And with Rockhaven, we can look back at the past and how people did it 100 years ago. Senator, thanks
Absolutely.
So much for joining us. Joanna, you too. And when we come back on Fox 11 News In Depth, we're going to continue looking at the history of mental health in the U.S. and why a facility like Rockhaven was such an innovation. Could something like that be the future of mental health care as well? We'll take a look at all of that when we come back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. So we talked a little bit about Rockhaven and why it's significant in an historic sense. From what we've heard about the Rockhaven facility, it truly was a haven for women in the early 20th century. We've heard horror stories about how women in the past were maltreated and branded as mentally ill for nothing more than, say, disagreeing with their husbands or going through menopause. And ultimately, the laws were changed to protect the rights of those branded as mentally ill. But where do we find ourselves now in regards to how mental illness is handled? So let's bring in someone who can give us a pretty good perspective on that treatment of mental illness over the years. Hello, Vicki Mays. Vicki is a professor of psychology. And you know what? What is that perspective? I mean, go back to 1923. You got Agnes Richards, who starts this place, Women Starting Something for Women. It goes away with her passing. But here we are struggling with mental health in the year 2023.
Just kind of set up a contrast, because when we think about what people were doing back then, one of the issues is we have this like vision about what they call asylum. And what Rockhaven was really trying to do is be more of a sanatorium. Now, in terms of this issue of asylums, it's like, you know, we can go all the way back and talk about people just being chained and bloodletting and, you know, the whole nine yards. But each time, what we've done is we've gotten better. Initially, people, for a moral reason, were just taken off the street and put in because they had a mental illness. Then psychiatry began to really develop. And when psychiatry began developing, what you began to see is the desire to want to treat. But what you have to remember is we didn't have drugs back then. So the only thing we could do was warehouse people. You know, these pictures are just fantastic, because what they show you is it was a time in which we really believed that treating people kindly, putting them in these facilities where we could give them like occupational therapy, you know, teaching them work skills, allowing them to, you know, have these social interactions. We thought that the environment was really important. And Rockhaven was one of those places. I actually did my training in a place like that, St. Elizabeth's in Washington, D.C., where it was a huge entity. It was a place where they had a laundry. It was a place where they had a garden. It was a place where we had all kind of occupational therapy for patients.
Yeah, it sounds like you're talking like Rockhaven, because Rockhaven has those sort of things. It also has a hospital setting inside. But the idea of taking these women who were in these little cabins, cottages, and bringing them outside to the gardens to have these conversations, to make them engage with each other. That was a way of treating. But here we are in 2023, and we have this huge debate going on about how we care for our mentally ill.
Well, here's the problem in 2023. One of the things that we did was we've gotten rid of places like Rockhaven and others because we looked at them as not being up to par in terms of what recent treatments are. Now what we're looking at is we have a variety of drugs. We had a period in which, and this was back in the 60s, where the lawyers really said, you have to treat people in the least restrictive environment. So keeping people in environments like this were done away with. We had probably about 500,000 people in the US who were in facilities like this. And that dropped down to about 70,000. And so we start closing mental health facilities. So the notion of treating people in the least restrictive environment says you can't have them in places. Instead, let them just be out and about. And they also have the right to refuse treatment. Mental illness is sorely unfunded. California is actually, as bad as we think it is, California is actually one of the leaders, because we have what's known as the Millionaires Tax, which is the Mental Health Services Act, which gives us more resources than the typical state to deal with mental health problems. And you see, we're not getting it right.
But as we look at the failures, which is what we're talking about here, as we look at the failures of the current system, where are we going? What do we need to do to get ourselves in a place where mental health is handled in a better way?
oh, it's like that's a laundry list. The first thing we need to do is to think about how we finance mental health. You know, some people think that if people get all the treatment that they want, that we will break the bank. And that's not a good way to think about it. Not everyone, you know, people are thinking about psychoanalytic treatment where you sit for years. Instead, what we need to do is to be able to have people, when they go in their primary care setting, to be able to access treatment for their mental health problems as well. But that's not easy. We also don't have enough providers. There's not enough funding in this country to support the development of social workers and psychologists and psychiatrists. So we've started trying to get peer support groups, but we don't have enough resources to develop the programs to get enough people to meet the workforce needs.
Mm. So it sounds like what Agnes Richards started, what Agnes Richards started back in 1923 kind of was going in the right direction, but now we have a long way to go to what her vision might have been, right?
Exactly.
All right.
That's
all right.
Why I want your listeners to know that Rockhaven, for all that we want to think about it, it was really headed in a good direction, but it needed to keep up with the times, and that's what didn't happen.
Right. Vicki Mays, psychology professor, always good to talk to you. Thank you so very much for being with us. We'll talk to you again. And Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell? And it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.